The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio, and thanks for tuning in. I am Percy here, your host, and as you know, I'm also the executive producer of Generations TV on Spectrum OC16. The air is 6 days a week, seven times actually, twice on Thursdays. Every other Wednesday, we have a new show. That's at 7:30 on Spectrum OC16, so check it out. Thanks to Ron Darby, our producer of the show. And if you missed it, if you want to check it out, we have all our last year's shows and this year's shows on our website, generations808.com, including this show in a couple of weeks. You'll have it on our Generations 808 website. And we archive all our radio shows on our website. So thanks to Malin Moore, our webmaster there. But anyway, we're here with a lady that I met over time because it took us about a month. I knew about you for a month. I just haven't time to schedule you in. And she's actually – now, are you from Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I live in Santa Cruz. So part of why we couldn't get together any sooner is that I live in California. I just got here a few days ago.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, her name is Holly Blue, and welcome to the show, Holly.
Well, hello. I'm really happy to be here. It's good to be back in the I know.
Now, you said you used to live here in Hawaii?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
When was that? Back in the 70s and the 80s. I lived first on Big Island, and then I moved over to Maui. Yeah.
What were you doing here?
Oh, a lot of different things. I was homesteading, living out in the country, and then...
Oh, you're one of those hippies, huh? Back in the day?
Oh, now you're getting personal.
A lot of people are hippies. A lot of hippies are still there.
Yeah, but you're probably young enough. Do you remember Puppets on the Path?
No.
Oh, remember Puppets on the Path? That was an environmental education puppet troupe. And we were around in the 1980s. We started doing like nature walks up in Volcanoes National Park, and we had a rock group called the Magmatones, and plants and animals, and we built our own puppets and did all our own scripting.
Now there is a theater up there, and I believe they still do some of that. It's
probably
outside of Hilo. I'm not sure the town. A couple from the mainland bought the theater and they renovated it, and they do shows there weekly.
Really? Yeah. No, I don't know about that.
I can't remember the name of the theater, but I saw an article in a magazine. One of my favorite magazines to read actually is the Hawaiian Airlines magazine. Uh-huh. It's a really good, and they have all kinds of stories in there. The only thing I wish to make the font a little bit bigger was I have a hard time reading the small font.
Well, trying to get the magazine far enough away so you can read it without hit the seat in front of you before it's...
And I'm a male, so I don't want to bring out my glasses to show my age, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I really had a hard time angle it, turn the light on, you know. But anyway, Holly Blue, now, we're not going to talk about environment. We're not going to... Well, a little bit.
Well, yeah, we are. Yeah, a little bit. Actually, we are. Yeah. We're going to talk about environment a lot.
But you're a professional, and you have your own website, and you do consultation services in
end-of-life issues, natural death care, conscious living, the kind of conscious living that happens to have a dying in it. But, you know, that's no reason to just pretend that's not going to happen, because if you look around, it's like everybody's doing it.
And everybody's going to die.
That's
one
what
day.
I mean. Everybody's doing it, you know, I'll and none you. Of us talk about getting good at. Well, some of us talk about getting good at it. You and I were talking before we went on the air about Dr. Mitsuo Aoki and the Aoki Foundation. And he was an amazing teacher here about that very thing. And you can go Google. There's stuff up on YouTube. You can watch movies about him. He was extraordinary, and he was one of my teachers a long time
really?
Ago. Really? Yeah, yeah. So, you know, when I reconnected with the AOK Foundation, it was good for my heart. That was one of the ways I really felt like I was home.
So
big influence in my life.
So give our listeners an idea of your background, because on your website you talk about, it says Holly Blue Hawkins, your last name, brings an eclectic array of knowledge to support a client's personal, authentic spirituality and environmentally appropriate end-of-life choices.
That's right. That's right.
So how did you get involved with this, and what's your background there, Holly?
Wow, how did I get involved in this? Well, actually, Mitz Aoki was very, very early influence for me. I was living over on Maui in the mid-1980s, you know, and sadly, you know, that was like the first wave of AIDS, and I watched a whole population just sort of disappear in the space of a year. And around that same time, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was actually out here and founded an organization over on Maui called Shanti Nilaya Maui. And it was not only about end-of-life work, but you know, because that was what she was really known for, but also about really... without calling that, and certainly in her own ways, it was kind of ho'oponopono. I mean, she was trying to help people to make pono. She worked with the Maui Community Correctional Facility over there.
Oh, really?
We actually had a some of us were volunteers and went in there and did support groups with the people who were incarcerated there. And so that was kind of, you know, that was my early training in it. And then as I started really embracing my Jewish identity, I found out about an aspect in the Jewish tradition that's called Chevra Kedisha. And, you know, a lot of times people will ask you, well, what does Chevra Kedisha mean? And people say burial society, but that's not true. Chevra Kedisha actually means like sacred society or even holy friends. And we're the people who do the ceremony over the body of our deceased before they're buried. And it's an old, old, old tradition.
Is that tradition done because there was actually, and I don't know if you've heard this, there's a great movie called Departures.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to mention that movie.
I'll tell you, if you're listening, if you love humor in End of Life, it's about a Japanese young man that took a job. Now, I'm not...
Spoiler alert.
What's that?
What? Your audience, you're going to tell them...
Okay, Holly.
Please.
Lou. Well, I want to give him a little tease.
Okay, give him a tease.
Now, is that a real Japanese tradition, though?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Where they just, like you said, the Jewish ceremony, this Japanese ceremony is done before the body's removed from the house or the facility, right?
Right, right.
And now correct me if I'm wrong, is it a cleansing or something spiritual?
Yes, it's very spiritual cleansing, and I think it's really fascinating that they do it in the house. I have to say, I have my own copy of that movie, and I watch it from time to time.
Have you seen that one? Oh, my God. Very funny. Brings, you know, because death and dying gets a little stressful, depressing, emotional, all of the above.
Totally.
But it really brings to light in a nice, funny way of the tradition. Didn't focus so much on the tradition, but more on the person, the young kid that took the job,
right.
As that, I guess, having a mentor teach him the practice, right?
Right.
So if you get a chance, Departures, I believe it's on Netflix.
Yeah, I think you can stream it on Netflix.
Families need to embrace that because we're all going to pass away.
Right.
I know the baby boomers probably don't think so.
Oh, no, baby boomers will never die. Baby boomers will never die.
But it is something I think we need to embrace and be proactive about. So
totally.
I want to talk first of all about the just Jewish tradition that you have.
Right.
And you're going to be speaking now. This airs Saturday and Sunday. And you're doing a workshop Sunday
afternoon at Temple Emmanuel. Yeah,
and it went off of off the pulley.
I never spent so much. Is it? I don't know. Yeah, I never spent so much time on Oahu, so I don't even. People are driving me around. I couldn't even tell you where I am now.
Well, you live in Maui, in the Big Island. That's why.
That's right. Yeah, this was a big city. I don't think I've been here since 1986 when I was flying in. Was that? Yeah, that was yesterday. Oh, yeah? I was flying in. I'm going, no, is that? No. Are you serious? Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying to myself, 1986, I haven't been here since.
Wow, a lot of construction. A lot of construction down by Kakaako, by the Albon Shopping Center area. But yeah, right. Tell me for our listeners, I want to first of all talk about the Jewish tradition. Right. I've never heard really much about it, and I didn't really know. I didn't even know about the Japanese tradition.
Right.
I mean, I, that's how naive I was. But the movie did tell me a lot. So tell me, explain to me about your tradition, because you are Jewish.
Right, right, right. Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting that you say, first of all, just before we get into that, that you didn't know about your tradition. And some of us were out at Hawaiian Memorial Park this morning and having a conversation with the folks out there. And that was one of the things that we were talking about that was really poignant. You know, we realized a lot of us from different traditions, you know, things got pretty crazy in the 20th century, and we were just kind of hanging on to whatever we could hang on to and trying to find something meaningful to hang on to. And so now a lot of us are going back to, you know, how we did things before. You and I were talking about, what did we say we were going to call this? New old ways at end of life. And you and I have that in common, you know, because you've seen departures. I show departures when I'm teaching to the Jewish community and say, look at how elegant this is. And this is what we want to do, too. We have a very different way of doing it. For one thing, we don't perform our ceremony in front of family. We do it in a very private space. Yeah, yeah. We have... one of the, you might say, rules, one of our sort of guiding principles in this is something that we call kavod hamet, which means honoring the body of the person who has died. We have literally a different word for, you know, like my body that I'm walking around in right now. That's called a guf. But the minute I die, that body's not a guf anymore. It becomes a meta because I'm a woman, or mate if you're a man. And our respect for that, well, one of my teachers, not Jewish, called the physical costume, right? Mm-hmm. Our respect for that physical costume is such that many of us won't even look at that person's face because they can't look back at us. You know, it would be very disrespectful. You know, sometimes like your elders, you don't look them in the face because that would be disrespectful. And so we have our ways of respecting too, and that's part of it. So when somebody passes away, then we start by washing their body like, you know, like you would give somebody a sponge bath. And then we have a ceremonial cleansing that's kind of like if you ever heard of the Jewish mikvah, you know, where it's immersion in water. But, you know, some people do an immersion, but most of us use buckets of water and continuous stream. And we're saying this person is purified as we're doing this.
So let me ask you, who does this ceremony? Do like yourself does that?
That's right. Yeah, I've been doing
it. Practitioners?
Yeah, yeah, people who are trained in doing it. I've been doing it for over 20 years.
Oh, but so you don't, when you go to, so this is done at, I guess, the funeral home or someplace? Or
yeah.
Hospital?
Well, no, not usually at the hospital. Back in the old days, we're talking about the old days, a lot of times at a cemetery would have a tahara room that they would do it in. And in fact, I've been, you know, I spend time in England. I've got relatives in England too. So when I'm over there, you know, a large Jewish cemetery actually would have their own tahara facility right at the cemetery. And so then it's totally set up for the way that they would do it.
Huh. Did anybody here have that? Like Hawaii Memorial going to have
No. Although we were talking about, you know, creating a space like that, it wouldn't be called a tahara room specifically because, you know, it would be serving many different traditions. But, you know, really supporting the legacy. But yeah, large cities, for example, the closest one to where I live is in San Francisco. And there's a large, it's a mortuary, but the name of the place is Sinai Memorial Chapel. And it's a large, but it's a nonprofit organization, which is pretty rare for mortuaries, but it's a Jewish mortuary. They also own a lot of cemeteries and have even satellite mortuaries serving down the peninsula. So, you know, like you think about Silicon Valley, you know, you come down from San Francisco, you get to Silicon Valley, and then you go what we call over the hill out to where I live out on the Monterey Bay. So they actually have that very thing, and that's all they would do in there. Wow. What we would call a preparation room. You know, you go to a mortuary and they have a preparation room, and however they care for the body, that's where they do it, you know, and they've got all their supplies and it's set up for that. So,
Is there anybody else in Hawaii that does this tradition? Do you know? Maybe there's anybody at Temple
Emmanuel? Oh, Kevra Kadisha?
Yeah.
There are.
In Hawaii?
As a matter of fact, before I came over here this trip, I was working with the Chevra Kadisha over on Maui, and doing some training and because it's this beautiful dance. I mean, there's usually 4, 5, maybe 6 of it. It depends on the size of the person who passed. You know, sometimes you need more people, but somebody your size, my size, it's usually about 5 people. So you have 2 people on either side of the body and 1 kind of up at the head. And then there's another person holding the book and holding the space liturgically. Because there's this interesting thing that we do, you know, if you think about railroad tracks and there are 2 of them that the train is steady on its track. So we have the liturgical track being held that is mirroring what is happening in terms of the physical care of the body, and that liturgy comes, from the Bible. There's a lot that comes out of Zechariah, or you might say Zechariah, you know, but various ones of the prophets and so on. And so it's really beautiful because as we're actually doing the ceremony, there is somebody who's saying the prayers that are congruent with what we're doing at the same time, you know, with our hands, and it's a really extraordinary experience.
Now, is any family member there besides you folks?
The tradition is that the family does not participate in that kind of thing because we, as the Chevra Kadisha, are there to be their servants in a lot of ways, and in fact. As we're rebuilding our tradition, as we were talking about earlier, it's gotten down to being that the Chevra Kadisha basically has 2 functions nowadays, and one is performing this ceremony that we call Tahara. A person who performs Tahara is called a Metaharim. But then there's another duty that is performed, and that's guarding the body of the person who has died. And that person is called a shomer. That's our performing the duty of shmirah is protecting that body. And ideally, from the time a person dies until they're buried, the body is never left unprotected. So, you know, the tradition teaches that the shomer is guarding the body of the person who has died and also really looking after the bereaved family. I personally believe that there's something else that we're guarding too, and that is that we are guarding the tradition and that everybody in the Chevra Kadisha, no matter what they do, we are all shomerim. We're all protecting the tradition, and we find different ways of doing that. So it might be taking the bereaved family a meal. It might be taking care of the cemetery. I spend a lot of time taking care of our cemeteries and that kind of thing. So,
Is this tradition, how prevalent is it? Is it still pretty strong cult tradition? Are the younger baby boomers doing it for their parents?
it's coming back. It's coming back. It's like you were saying about Nikkei. You know, it's something that we are really just relearning now. So there are places that it never died out, especially in big cities or places where there's a large concentration of Jewish people. But you know, there are other places. You know, so when I'm teaching in a place where there's a large concentration of Jewish people and they never lost touch with their tradition, I start my teaching by saying that I come from the far diaspora in California, where, you know, we have sort of an aggregate tradition where all of us have our little pieces of it and we're trying to cobble back together a meaningful whole. So, you know, if your Jewish tradition came from Italy and my Jewish tradition came from the Ukraine and somebody else's Jewish tradition came from the Iberian Peninsula, we might have some serious discussions about what the right way of doing it is.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. We're here with Holly Blue Hawkins. If you Google her, just Holly Blue, and you'll find it. Her website is called Last Respects Consulting.
Last Respects Consulting.
It's all
right.
.com. But we're talking about end of life issues, spiritual issues. You'll be doing a workshop on Sunday. If you listen to this radio show Sunday, it might have already happened because the Sunday radio show airs at 3 to 4. But you can go to her website. And you're only here for a couple of days, but I'm glad I've met you. But I wanted to talk. So if you go to our website, which I'm at right now, she has a lot of different services here. We just talked about the Jewish tradition of the burial or ceremony. But you must have a lot of experience in a few other different religions, right?
More
spiritual aspects.
Spiritual aspects. So there's this really interesting thing that I've discovered from really in-depth learning about the Jewish tradition. There are so many steps that you know really help to usher us along all the way from, you know, when we really first start confronting the fact that our mortality, all the way up till the time we pass, and then for the family, the entire first year after somebody dies, and then anniversaries that happen throughout the year. If you take that whole map, which is really pretty intact and pretty amazing, I do what I call secularizing it then, you know, and I say, okay, so this is what the Jewish tradition, this is how we do it. But it's a good roadmap, and if you take thematically what happens at that stage, then you can fill in the blanks with your own particular tradition and how would your family do it? You know, how would your tradition do it? And it gives you a lot of information, and you know. It's so funny. One of the things that I hear people say, really meaning well, but not really understanding, you know, where they talk about getting over it or healing or moving on or all those kinds of things. You know, it can be put a lot of pressure on somebody whose life has been changed forever. You know, because somebody really important in their life, you know. Parents, spouse, God forbid, their children, important teachers, any of that. How do you do that?
Right.
And what's important is that we don't get over those things, and we don't even really want to get over those things. What we want to do is integrate what has happened in our lives so that we can move on.
Yeah. We're here with Holly Blue. She's actually from Santa Cruz. I've been there, by the way. I've been on a roller coaster over there back in the 70s. I lived in there in the 70s.
The boardwalk.
We're talking about Last Respects Consulting website. And I want to really spend the second half of the show, Holly, talking about how to plan your end of life, how to take care of business. You know, you have a great tool, end of life planning guide, that I want to kind of talk about as well. Mm-hmm. So We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Holly Blue.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay. Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play. We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
Bet you find it at the Cow.
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Have you been looking for a safe anti-inflammatory for your health and longevity? Introducing Xanthosin, a doctor-recommended astaxanthin supplement that supports your joints, heart, liver, and longevity. Xanthosin is safe, pure, and specially formulated for superior absorption. Xanthosin complies with all FDA regulations for manufacturing and labeling. Xanthosin, the safe anti-inflammatory for health and longevity. Available at a GNC store near you.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
A very important period is coming up, what we call AEP, Annual Election Period, from October 15 to December 7.
The annual election period is when you can change from one plan to another. The plans change. The benefits, coverage, and premiums may be different. So know what you should have. What are your current health needs, your budget, and priorities? You need to make sure the medications you are currently taking are covered and that your doctor is in the network you're looking at.
Like we mentioned before, all plans are different. There's no one plan that's good for everybody. Everybody got different wants and needs. Call us and we can help you.
Helping you work your way through the confusion. Navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Did you know residential care homes offer a family-oriented atmosphere? At Caregivers Heart Hawaii, our kupuna become part of the family. The smaller environment allows for more personal attention. For example, there's no waiting to go to the bathroom compared to other long-term care options. The patient-to-caregiver ratio is smaller and help is faster. Over time, residential care homes are less expensive compared to other long-term care options. Our caregivers are experienced and enjoy what they do, and all homes are ADA approved. Don't feel stressed and overwhelmed or try to do this alone. Aloha, I am Ku'unani Demonte with Caregivers Heart Hawaii. Let us help you with all your care home placement needs. Caregivers Heart Hawaii has knowledge and experience. For a free consultation and to learn more about us, go to caregivershearthawaii.com, where treating kupuna like family is our business.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include three meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit voidvacationshawaii.com.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howara from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio, and thank you for tuning in this weekend here, depending whether you listen to me Saturday or Sunday, because we replay it Sunday. And don't forget our Generations 808 website. We are revamping our past issues segment of our website, so if you try to pull it up and try to look for a past issue, we're revamping that part of the website. But all our past radio and TV shows are up there. And don't forget, August 17th, 2019, this year, we will be having our 13th annual Aging in Place workshop. We have about 32 to 36 different workshops going on from 8 to 2:30. We have 6 different rooms going on at one time. So if you're back, you might want to think about checking this out. August 17th is 8 to 2:30. It is free. No reservations required to show up. It is first come, first serve. So if the room is full, the room's full. And you have to wait till the afternoon. If not, all our presenters will have handouts that you can take home, or you can go to their website. Bring a friend, bring a snack, because we don't provide any lunch or snacks anymore because it's so crowded. We need all the space we can, all the sitting and standing space we can. And every 45 minutes, the workshop's over, and every hour, people switch out to the new room. So they're scrambling to find the next room and getting a seat. But it's a great event. It's about over 3,000 people come throughout the day, and that's one of our key workshops that we do every year. Don't forget, we are doing a Realities of Aging workshops every month, starting in this month, April. And starting in May, we'll be doing 3 a month. We'll be doing one in Pohainani and Kaneohe. We'll be doing one over at the Plaza Assisted Living in Pearl City, and then at the facility Abe Lee's office on the 15th floor of the Alamana Pacific building every month, starting April. So check that out on our website or any issue of Generations Magazine. You find either the one with the Pakalolo bud on the cover or the April-May issue of Harry B. Soria on the cover talking about the Territorial Airwaves, its 40th anniversary. So anyway, a lot of stuff on our website. People always ask me about the website. If you go to our Resources tab, click on that tab, and I have all the different resource guides that we have in every issue, from adult day centers to caregiver workshops to AARP does tax aid during this time of year, and all the Alzheimer's support group meetings, seeing clubs, book clubs that we have now, and our business partners that support the magazine. They're all trusted entities. So check that out, generation808.com. So anyway, we have our guest today all the way from California, Santa Cruz, California. I've actually been there. So if you know Santa Cruz, they have the old, what did he call that?
The fair? Boardwalk. The beach boardwalk.
Beach Boardwalk is Santa Cruz. I've been there. They have their rickety old wooden roller coaster. That's a lot of fun. It was scary back then because those cars are so small, and they actually take these really sharp turns, and you can look off the side of the boardwalk, off the railing, and you won't fall out. But it's pretty a lot of fun. So anyway, Holly Blue, she's an expert in end of life issues, really more about the Jewish faith and that their ceremonies, right?
Both.
But
not
I
just
want to
Jewish.
Talk about. So if you go to her website, lastrespectsconsulting.com, she has, I went to your website, and I found she actually has a planning guide. That's really good. You can print it out, and it talks all the different documents you need, because, you know, we are going to eventually pass on. As Frank B. Shaner says, not us baby boomers, right? But we will down the road. But it's a list that you should have. That I want to cover real briefly about the practical aspects of approaching the threshold and taking care of business. So, Holly, walk our audience and myself through these basic documents that they need to have, because some people don't have them.
Right. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have them because they're not going to die, and so they don't need them, right?
Yeah.
You know, but it's like anytime you're going to go on a trip, you know, you got to buy your tickets, you got to get your shots, you want maps, you want all that kind
of. You do your research.
You know, exactly. You do your research, but this other thing, not so much.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, you know, so.
They're in denial.
There, yeah, right. And we're not talking about the one with the crocodiles either. So, you know, but I'm here to tell you that Benjamin Franklin was wrong. You know, he was the one who said two things you'll never get out of are death and taxes. I have seen people get out of the tax thing. You know,
oh, yeah.
A lot of different.
Yeah.
The other thing, not so much, you know.
You're right.
So, you know, when we talk about estate planning, you know, the kind of thing that, that you would typically like do with an attorney or you know, where you have a will and, you know, who's going to get your stuff and all of that, you know, and but it's hard enough to get people to think about dying or being dead. Let me say this differently. It's hard enough to get people to think about being dead. It's even harder to get them to think about dying. You know,
well, and everything is going to happen. Whereas, you know, I'm 59. Not going to happen in another 30, 40 years. Or I'm 70. Not going to happen in about 20 years. I'm going to live to 100. Yeah. But we don't know.
We don't know.
When it's going to happen.
Anytime. Right? Yeah. As a matter of fact, you know, I can say, you know, I can look around a room full of people and tell them, I can tell every single one of you exactly when you're going to die. And they look at me like I'm crazy. And I say, anytime.
That's true. That is so true.
Anytime.
You know, and so these planning tips are really important for the, really not for the person that's passed on. It's for the family.
It's for the family, but actually these things that I'm talking about here are before we die.
Right.
These things in the planning guide, you know, and when we talk even about an advanced healthcare directive, you know, and that has to do with, If I can't take care of myself, I can't speak for myself, I can't, you know, make decisions, who is going to speak on my behalf?
Right.
And, you know, depending on where you live in the country, you might call that person a healthcare agent or a proxy.
A guardian.
Well, guardian's different. Yeah, guardian's a different thing. But we talk about a healthcare agent or proxy, that person who, like, would talk with the doctors, even talk with the mortuary, you know. If we can think about dying at all, we usually think about it like there's a switch that gets flipped and you're either alive or you're dead or somebody's going to pull the plug. You know, a lot of times people don't want to fill out an advanced healthcare directive because they think that all they're doing is empowering somebody to pull the plug on them. And there's so much more to it than that. It's so much more nuanced. It really has to do with what do we want the last part of our life to be like in terms of levels of care, just getting kind of blunt with it. It's like that moment where you're going, keep me comfortable and let me go, or do whatever it takes to keep my body running, even if I'm not in it, you know, just keep it running. When my father, a blessed memory, he walked into a hospital one day and basically dropped dead then. But, wow. You know, they tried to keep him alive, you know, and I got there a few hours later and he was on life support and everything and, you know, in the ICU. And I just walked in there and I looked at this whole incredible room full of technology and I'm like, well, that's the spaceship daddy, but he's not there. You know, you couldn't feel him at all.
And so what happened?
We did a withdrawal of life support. You know, it took a few hours. We talked with the doctor. We talked with my mother. And
now, did you have the medical directive there?
Yes, exactly. We had an advanced healthcare directive. So it was like, you know, we went in a conference room. We sat down and the doctor just, you know, laid it out for us. There's nothing we can do, you know. But he had to have somebody with the authority say, pull the plug. And in fact, one of the ways that I got into this was way back when I was living on Maui, back in, I think this was probably 1986, I had a good friend who was living over there who had an aneurysm, a cerebral aneurysm, and basically just, you know, she was down. She did not have any blood kin, and she did not have any of this stuff in order. And so her body just lay there in a hospital for weeks because there was nobody to say do a withdrawal of life support. And even more tragic, you know, it was like the only thing about her that was working was her heart. She had this, and she did as a person too. It was really interesting. She had an amazing, she was a very heartful person, and she had this heart that would not stop beating. So they couldn't, you know, they couldn't do a withdrawal of life support, and they couldn't give that amazing heart to somebody else to keep them alive.
And what happened then?
You know what? They finally, the nursing staff said to us, you know what? You keeping vigil is keeping her here. Go home.
And she, they eventually pulled the plug on her?
Then, no, they didn't, they couldn't pull the plug. They had, but because we weren't there, she didn't have as much reason to stay either. Her soul didn't have as much reason to stay. And so
she eventually just passed on her own.
So she eventually passed on her own. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they sent us home. They said, you're keeping her here. Don't do this.
Amazing.
So, but it taught me a lot about that whole process and how important it is, you know, because if it's time to go, it's time to go. You know, it's like we're all so afraid of the angel of death, but I'm going, you know, there's going to be some time you're going to go, hey, where you been? You're my best friend. Where the heck have you been?
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it too many times.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I've seen, I'll tell you a little bit of the story. Back in the days, so I'm a recovering legal professional, you know, full disclosure here, you know.
I used recovering to work in the legal professional. Okay.
Yes, yeah, right. I used to, and part of that was being a notary. And there were times that I would end up going into a hospital because it was some document that somebody had not signed yet. Might be, you know, like a deed to a property or signing all the estate planning papers, the, you know, the will and the trust and, you know, all of these other things. And they hadn't done it. And that was keeping them here. There was one time there was a guy who literally, it was 12 hours after I, you know, I clicked my notary valise shut, click, those little locks went, and I walked out of the room with all of the documents signed, and he died 12 hours later.
Wow.
It was holding him here. He could not leave until he did that. But now how many months had we been begging him to do it?
Yeah, before
you know,
that.
And he wouldn't, before that, you know.
Right.
And he wouldn't do it because he just didn't believe he was really going to die. He didn't. And I don't think, you know, it's funny we talk about we don't believe we're going to die. I think we just, that means you think about it. It's like, what's the difference between an atheist and an agnostic? An atheist has to decide there's no God. An agnostic, it doesn't matter. It's just not, it doesn't even hit their radar. There's so many people who it doesn't even hit their radar.
That's really what it is.
Yeah. So you were asking about these documents. So,
well, you know, I did our first mini aging in place workshop called The Realities of Aging in March. And I would say what of the 15 people, 13 had a medical directive. But out of that 13 people, I think only two of them have a copy for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
They need to give it to the copy of the kids to leave it out someplace.
They need, know,
and carry it with them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can say they need to give it to the kids. They need to give who they named it to, who they named as their agent.
Yeah.
That those people and typically what we do is we say we name an agent, and a first alternate and a second alternate because what you don't want to do is say, oh, well, let those three people decide. Okay, good. Start that argument if you want.
Yeah.
You know, and meanwhile, you're over there in the parking lot wishing somebody would make up their mind. Right? That's not, so, you know, you name one, and if not that one, then that one, and if not that one, then that one. And it's amazing to me how many times I would be sitting in a conference room with a married couple, and one of them would be fine doing it for their partner, but the other one would say, I can't. Even I have one friend who said, you know, when she saw what her husband went through when it was time to euthanize their cat, she didn't want him to be responsible for her.
Yeah.
God forbid.
I get it.
You know, so it's a really interesting thing, and it's very nuanced, you know. So, but that's not the only document that's important.
And
so another important document to have is a durable power of attorney that gives somebody the authority to, like, take care of your business affairs.
Yeah.
You know, write the rent check.
Right.
All those kind of things. And I'll tell you, you know, so my joke is it's all well and good. You get everybody holding hands around the bedside singing Kumbaya, and then the light goes off because nobody was empowered to pay the electric bill.
Yeah, I did want to make an asterisk to that, that if you want to get any kind of a mortgage or a line of credit on the home, and mom has dementia, mm-hmm. she has a power of attorney, anytime you're lending or any kind of a mortgage or loan on a residential or any kind of a real estate property, if they want to utilize the power of attorney, it comes with a doctor letter saying Holly Blue is unable to make her own financial or legal decisions. Mm-hmm. And and they want to know when. So let's say March 2019, she's been deemed as not having the capacity, mental capacity to handle this, her own affairs. Well, that date has to be after power attorney was signed. I've seen power mm-hmm. attorneys come in, because of my lending background, that come in January 2018, but they were deemed to have dementia, Alzheimer's in February of 2017. They're not valid.
Yeah.
Because all lending requirements, whenever you use a power of attorney, that power of attorney has to be recorded on title. A lot of the attorneys don't know that. I've been doing, that's my part-time job or my full-time job. I've been doing lending 30 years. That's how I got involved with aging with the reverse mortgage. And we're seeing it now pop up where the doctor has to send a letter saying, Holly Blue has dementia, unable to have capacity to make her own decisions. And this happened around early part of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the power of attorney is dated before that time, it's good. If it's dated end of 2017 and you've been deemed not to have mental capacity in early 2017, that power of attorney is not valid for lending purposes only. Mm. I want to say that because I've trained a lot of attorneys in the past 10 years.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and you're bringing up a really interesting point, too.
Sticky
and
point.
This is it's kind of heartbreaking, but it happens. I mean, even at my age, I'm really kind of shocked to see how many of my friends who are like my age or maybe just a little bit older, and you know, they're like having a spouse who's starting to have cognitive issues and that kind of thing, and I'm going, you know, if you see this person starting to slip, but they haven't slipped so far yet that a notary wouldn't validate a document or validate a signature for them. You know, if that person's starting to slip, it's time to go see your attorney now.
Yeah.
While they can still, before their capacity is really in question.
They need to.
And or, you know, God forbid, even worse, you see yourself starting to slip. That's time to really take responsibility. And that's so much what this is about. It's like we have to take responsibility. We have to look around us and say, this isn't just about me. This is about all of them.
Yeah.
And if I love them and I care for them, you know, one of the rougher things I say to people is like, if we don't do these things, if we don't take care of this, this is like the worst kind of littering. It's like the worst kind of littering, yeah. Because what we're doing is leaving a mess for our loved ones to clean up right when they deserve the right to be mourning or passing.
Yeah. Well, it caused a big fight, if anything.
Mm. Well, yeah. Just, you know, destroy families.
You know, I heard an attorney friend of mine that said, yeah, we had a medical directive, but and says we can't keep them alive. But you have to be very specific. I said, what do you mean by that? Do we give them water?
Right.
And then if you don't, you know, a lot of times they'll will themselves to death. But then in the last stage, the last hours of their life, you know, the lips are getting all chapped. Do we get a wet table, wet cloth, and do they wet their lips because it's chapping already?
Mm-hmm.
And it's cracking?
Mm-hmm.
Is mom in pain or dad in pain?
Right.
What do we do about that?
Right.
The medical director can be sometimes that specific.
Right.
You know, I've mentioned this before when I'm going to do my medical director in the coming months. That I want to put in there, if I have 6 months or less to live, if I can't enjoy a baseball game or football game, if I can't enjoy a glass of wine or a can of beer, let me go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not worth living.
Mm.
Well, my son's old enough, of course, but my son's young. But yeah, I mean, that's how specific I want to get,
uh-huh.
You know, because it's so important. People's wishes need to be honored, and they need to be more specific in how to do that. You know, if you want to get that specific, you know.
Well, and it, not only do they need to be honored, they need to be known. And it takes so much pressure. It takes so much pressure off of the people who are making decisions for you. If they know what you want and they don't have to try to figure it out. You know, they don't, well, you know, no, what did Papa want? Does anybody remember? I know we talked about this, but, you know, you talk about the can of beer or the glass of wine. Now, what did he say? I don't exactly remember, you know.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? You know, so what we're talking about here, if I could put it down into one word, it's love. We are talking about love here. And how do we really show up for the people in our lives who are going to end up taking care of us?
Yeah, but a lot of it's just simple. You know, they love you, but it's just denial.
No, I'm talking about the person who is going to be there and need to be taken care of. It's talking about us loving them. Mm-hmm. Make it easy for. It's hard enough already to lose somebody you love, but when you get stuck in all that, Pilikia, it's really bad.
Yeah,
it's worse, really, yeah. And you get stuck in your grief. Then, you know, it's like I was talking earlier about integrating the loss of somebody. If you have to keep coming back day after day after day to deal with the same problem year after year after year because they didn't take care of their thing.
Yeah. So medical directive, power of attorney.
HIPAA release.
That is the form for the hospitals to release your medical documents to other people?
To talk over your medical condition.
To the family.
To the family, you know, nowadays, and I'm talking California here, but I think it's probably the same in Hawaii.
It is.
Even your spouse, they can't talk to your spouse
unless
they got that HIPAA form. Mm-hmm. And so that's form. And HIPAA stands for Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And it's HIPAA. So I'll do that again, HIPAA. If you just Google that, you'll pull up all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's very
and important. You know, if you live in a particular area and that's your health network or the big hospital there, you can even just like walk in there and say, "Would you give me your HIPAA form?" And you know, even when you're healthy, right?
Most doctors are pretty good. What else we got there?
Okay, here's the biggie. And this, you know, going back to my father, a blessed memory again. So the day after he died, there I was sitting in the mortuary, and they were asking me the weirdest questions.
Weird?
So they could fill out his death certificate.
Oh, yes. I'm.
So they could fill out his death certificate.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, that's where I learned that lessons. I always tell people that one, you know. In fact, I even just like created a form for myself and the people that I work with.
Okay. So what are the key things that people need to have on a death certificate?
Off the top of my head, you're okay. So now you're hitting me with a pop quiz. But you know what you can do actually is to Google death certificate information and pull it up. Or if you got a mortuary that you're pre-planning with, they're going to have that information because they're the ones who are going to ask you. So you know,
mortuary helps you fill that out. Or the hospital.
No. Well, it could be the hospital. It could be the hospital, but it could also be the mortuary. It depends on the circumstances.
Okay. So we're here at Holly Blue. Thank you for coming today. I appreciate all your time. You have so much more to cover.
Could I include thanking my sponsors? I'd really appreciate that.
Well, you came in by Kukua'amau, you're talking about, right?
Kukua'amau. But also Hawaiian Memorial Park, Borthwick Mortuary, Valley of the Temples, and the Sydney Stern Memorial Trust all helped to bring me over.
Well, most of those all are partners anyway. The rest are nonprofits, which we support nonprofits all the time. But I want to ask you one last question.
Mm.
So Hawaii has a death with dignity law where they can, I hate to use the word, pull the plug after if you have 6 months or less to live and you can find a doctor can prescribe medicine to end your suffering. You have a personal opinion about that? Since you're such a spiritual person.
I'll tell you. And this is my personal opinion only. I feel about that the same way I feel about abortion, is that, God forbid, a person should have to make that kind of choice. It would be really arrogant of me to tell them what I think they should do.
Yeah. It's something that's a very difficult decision. And, you know, we got to have you back, Holly. I love talking to you. You know the word Pilikia. Wow. Good for you. You know what the whole Ho'oponopono is, even though you've been away for like 20 plus years, but 20, maybe 30 years.
No, I've never been away.
Yeah,
but I just don't show up much.
I appreciate it. Come on back. Let us know when you're coming back in town. I'm glad Alice was strong enough to push me to get you, and of course Hope too from Kukua'amau. But thank you so much. I appreciate our time. This show us end up on our website in about 2 to 3 weeks. We post on our website, and it's called The New Old Way at End of Life, right? So thank you very much, everybody. Have a great weekend, everybody. Don't forget, August 17, 2019 is our 13th annual Aging in Place workshop. So thank you very much, everybody. Happy weekend and aloha and live well.